Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. Grace Marie is one of the world's experts on healthcare public policy. She's the president of the Galen Institute. She's the editor of the outstanding book, Watershed Book, Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform. She's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and she's our good friend. Grace Marie Turner, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to be with you.
Nice to be back with you, and Happy New Year.
And to you, too.
Coming up pretty soon.
It's going to be a very busy year ahead.
We've got a lot of work to do, haven't we?
Indeed, we do.
And some of the work we have to do is just trying to stop some crazy people from doing some crazy things. I know some of your work, a lot of your work activity is not just putting positive things forward, but having to deal with a lot of negative stuff.
That's absolutely right. And really, over the last 10 years, The victories for conservatives on health care have been stopping the liberals from further advancing government control over the health care system.
Now,
we won a lot of victories, but we've also lost a lot.
In case there are people out there who aren't sure what the issues are for liberals and for conservatives, would you give us a little bit of a definition, please?
That's a very good question. I really do think the fundamental dividing line and battle lines over health care really break down into two completely different visions for health care. And it all seems to get muddied and complicated depending upon what issue they're talking about, whether it's Medicare prescription drugs or covering the uninsured or expanding Medicaid or Medicare. It really is down to, do you believe that the government is responsible and should be providing health coverage for everyone through taxpayer-funded programs, or do you believe that the health sector, one-seventh of our economy, really can work like the rest of our economy, in which consumers are making wise choices about the coverage, the health insurance policies that they want to buy to protect themselves and their families in a free and competitive market, just like they buy homeowners insurance or car insurance or any other kind of insurance. Allow the competitive market to offer choices, and for those people who can't afford health insurance on their own, provide them subsidies to buy private health insurance. Mm-hmm. That's our vision. The other side believes that the only way that the health system is ever going to be fair and equitable is to wring all of the private initiative and competition out of it and have the government deciding what health care you're going to get and how much it's going to be paid, global budgets, and the kind of systems that you see in most other developed industrialized countries.
Which is the opposite of the principles that this country was founded
on. Exactly right. How we wonder, why do we have so many problems in our health sector? Because it operates on a completely different philosophy than the rest of the economy. Almost one out of every $2 spent on health care in this country is spent by a government agency. So we already are teetering on the brink of having almost, we're 50-50 with private sector control and public sector control. But even in the private sector, people don't have choices because of the tax code. They have to get their health insurance at work if they're going to get this generous tax break that we offer. And in order to be able then to get health insurance through the workplace, they have to say, well, I'll let my employer decide what policy I'm going to get. Don't have a choice.
What you're really saying, Grace Marie, is that part of what you're saying is that the government is basically paying for a lot of health care anyway, either directly or indirectly through tax advantages.
That's right, exactly.
In other words, major corporations, folks, as you know, when you provide health care for your employees, that's a tax deduction.
And
so the government...
It's also not counted as taxable as a part of the compensation package,
right,
taxable to the employee, so it's
for
a double tax break.
Exactly. So the government is paying for the health care almost one way or another. I mean, obviously, there are some contribution made by employees that's not part of the government contribution, and there are some people who pay their own health care completely, who just write a check for that. So, but to a large degree, the government pays for it. The debate, therefore, is over how the government pays that. What's the most efficient and the most productive way for the government to subsidize this? And we're going to get into that right after these messages with our good friend Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute. It's 20 till. Stay with me. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Robert Thomas is going to join us. Robert is the co-author of a book called Geeks and Geezers. And what they do is, in this book, is they compare the generations, the geek generation and the geezer generation. And I'm afraid I don't want to talk about which one of those generations I'm part of. But anyway, he's going to be with us in just in the next hour, after which we'll be visiting with our good friend Gene Greisman. We're going to talk about leadership with Gene Greisman. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. She's the president of the Galen Institute. Grace Marie, give us your website, please.
It's on the World Wide Web at galen.org.
All right, and check that out, folks, when you get a chance. You can find her book there, Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform. You can download that book, can't they, Grace Marie?
They can, and they can also subscribe to our weekly free electronic newsletter called Health Policy Matters.
It is so well written, folks, for regular people like you and me, and I recommend it to you. I'm a happy subscriber to Grace Marie's newsletter. You can subscribe. It's free, right, Grace Marie?
It's absolutely right, and they can just send an email to galen@galen.org.
All right, and also, folks, don't forget that the book, if I'm not mistaken, Grace Marie, the book can be downloaded for free.
Yes, that's right, absolutely.
You can buy the book in a book form from wherever books are sold, as well as from the website, but you can download it if you want.
That's right.
Was it a PDF?
It's a PDF. I don't know. I think it's a PDF file,
yeah. I think it probably comes as a PDF file. So check that out when you get a chance, folks, and it's good information. Okay, what we were talking about is the issue of who pays, how the health care gets paid for. The government is helping all of us with our health care.
Right.
The question that you and I are, the point that you and I are trying to make, Grace Marie, and that you make so well in your profession, is that you don't have a problem with the government helping to pay for health care, I guess. It's just that you don't want the government in charge of that.
Yeah, I want it to be more like, you know, a Social Security payment, or we can talk about that a whole lot too, or food stamps or welfare. The government doesn't tell people when it gives them food stamps that they have to go to a government-run grocery store in
right.
which you can only have the things that the government has bought, and the
mm-hmm.
government tells you what the prices are, whatever. It says go to a regular grocery store, buy groceries, and here's some food stamps to help you because you're poor and you need help with food. We want to do the same thing with health insurance. Give people a kind of a voucher. We call them refundable tax credits. You can call it whatever you want, but it's money toward the purchase of health insurance so that people can reduce the price and be able to afford health insurance in the private sector, not have it be government-controlled, government-run health care.
What are some of the big challenges that are coming up for people who believe like you and I, like you and I do, Grace Marie, in the year ahead?
Well, as you know, we now have a new Senate Majority Leader
mm-hmm.
who decided that he was not going to continue as chairman of the Senate Republican Senatorial Committee. People really credit him with Republicans gaining control of the Senate because of the incredible amount of work that he did running the campaign committee. And now that Senator Frist is going to be a majority leader, Senator Frist's fortune comes from his work in the health sector. Part of it is that he is a heart transplant surgeon and was very successful at it. But he also is one of the owners of a health insurance chain. I don't know if it's still called Columbia HCA, but nonetheless, that's where his fortune is. I'm worried now that everything that comes up before the Senate that would have a market-oriented solution to health care, which is certainly the president's vision, and it's the vision of Senator Frist, and it's the vision of the leadership in the House, but they're going to say Senator Frist is doing this because he wants more profits to go into the health sector.
So you're actually concerned that his connection could actually be bad for the health care debate.
Could make it harder to get through market-oriented ideas because they're all going to say Senator Frist is doing this out of self-interest, rather than the truth is that we're doing it because we want consumers to have more choice. We want the health industry to have more incentives to get prices down and to compete on price and quality and value, and to give people a lot more choices than they have now of different kinds of health insurance, many of which would be more affordable than the kinds of insurance you get either through government programs or large bureaucracies like corporations.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you write about in your article, your newsletter this week, is you report on what you fear will be the end of research as we know it if the government gets complete control over our healthcare system.
Well, and in particularly I'm concerned about the high-end technologies right now in our healthcare system, which are prescription drugs. When you go to the doctor, don't we all hope that the doctor can say, oh, we have a pill that can cure that?
Right.
Well, those pills do not grow on trees. It costs $802 million on average to produce every new drug that gets FDA approval.
Hmm.
Unbelievably expensive. 12 to 15 years in the process. What do you think is going to be the incentive for the pharmaceutical companies to continue to make that kind of investment if they think at the other end the government's going to put on price controls or worse, seize their patents,
like they're doing in Europe, and
particularly in Africa.
I don't know about seizing the patents, but I read recently about a controversial issue in Germany, where they had gotten a big donation from some of the drug companies to not put lids on the prices, And then the government turned around and did it anyway.
Absolutely right. Government is absolutely terrible bargaining power.
But the bad news, though, Grace Marie, what the article I read proposed that issue, that thing that actually happened in Germany, could wind up costing Americans more money, more for our drugs too.
Already happening.
Hold on to that thought, Grace Marie. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 till. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Check it out, and a lot of other things you can do there, including hearing this show in a replay form. You can hear it all over again, and on Friday shows, the Monday through Thursday shows are available for 24 hours, and the Friday show is up all weekend. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. We're having a very good discussion about public policy issues regarding health care, and folks, this is something that we've all got to get more involved in. This affects us so much. It's getting out of hand, Grace Marie. As you know, health care, and this is a whole other issue from the tax issue, I guess, health care insurance prices have been going up in double digits 3 years in a row.
That's exactly right. And the people on the front lines paying those prices are small business owners and their employees. And it's absolutely essential that this next Congress begin to take some steps to get our healthcare system back in balance. And we were talking earlier about, why are our prices so high? Why are healthcare prices so high? Well, one reason on pharmaceuticals in particular is because other countries put price controls on drugs, and the drug companies, they say either take it or leave it. We're going to pay you essentially pennies on the dollar towards your millions of dollars towards your research. And what winds up happening is that the United States, which is the only major country that doesn't have price controls on pharmaceuticals right now for the private market, winds up paying the great majority of the research costs. Other countries are not paying their fair share of research.
So here's what you
got. And it pushes it all over here.
Here's what you got, folks. Germany, for example, and like a lot of European countries, basically provide health care for all their citizens. Right, Grace Marie?
Yes, got taxpayer funded.
So they're paying for it, and so they want to control their costs, which they've already got lots of trouble over there with all the socialized programs, socialistic programs that they have over there. So they're paying for it. So one of the ways they're holding their costs down and trying to live within their means is to put the burden back on by basically telling the healthcare, pharmaceutical companies that they're not going to pay their prices for their drugs to pay for the research. So that means that the U.S. winds up paying these prices, and we're having to pay these higher prices because of some of the mismanagement of other countries.
And what we're winding up doing, the United States is now, in many ways, funding the new cutting-edge research in the healthcare system on pharmaceuticals for the rest of the world. We're a rich country. Many of us can afford to pay those high prices, but many can't. And that's why you wind up having such a huge debate over a Medicare prescription drug benefit. Are we going to spend $700 to $800 billion on a Medicare drug benefit over the next 10 years? That's going to be the major debate in the next Congress. But if we go the route of having a government-controlled drug benefit, it's going to go the same way that Germany and England and France and other countries do in putting price controls on drugs. And many of us believe that that will dry up the research for the next generation of cancer cures, Alzheimer's cures, cures for diabetes, this huge next leap of technology in the healthcare system that we could have if we continue to keep investment dollars flowing.
But if we don't, and if we don't spread this research R&D recovery around the globe, then it will dry up because eventually the U.S. will have to stop. We can't carry the world's obligation for healthcare.
Well, and
research.
The companies will say, I just don't believe that I'm going to be able to recoup this $800
right.
million dollars in research, so I'm not going to start the process.
Then you reported in your newsletter that there are 400 new anti-cancer drugs being researched right now.
Yes. And any one of them could be the miracle cure that we've all been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
Or dozens of them could be
yeah.
for the various kinds of cancers. But if we can't keep the researchers going, if the companies can't afford to pay for the hundreds and hundreds of clinical trials that must be done on all these drugs, then they won't be able to prove to the FDA that they're safe and effective and wind up on the shelves at the pharmacy for us to be able to purchase.
And, folks, I'm not so much telling you how you should think, how you should feel about this. I just want you to get involved. I want you to be part of the debate so you can help decide what we need to do. Grace Marie Turner, thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure, Jim. As always, Happy New Year.
Good job. Happy New Year to you, and we'll see you again real soon.
Thank you.
Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen, with the Galen Institute. That's galen.org. Check that out when you get a chance. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.